Kellogg, brother and sister, J.H. Armadale, Melbourne, Australia, November 17, 1895. Dear brother and sister Kellogg, I have been privileged to witness the past 5 weeks that which has given me much joy, to see a people eager, hungry, and earnest to hear the Word of God presented in clear and new light. The Word of God has been presented in the demonstration of the Spirit and with power. The Lord has sent Professor Prescott to us not an empty vessel, but a vessel full of heavenly treasure, that he can give to every man his portion of meat in due season. This the people of God everywhere want. We cannot doubt for one moment that the Lord has seen how much his people needed just such precious food as they are receiving. It is so difficult to arrest the attention of the people from business transactions long enough to hear lesson after lesson until they become interested to hear more. It is even more difficult to get the pleasure lovers and worldly living to hear the messengers of God voice the words of John, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1, verse 29. The crowds have come to the tent to hear, and many have heard and been profited. Many are deeply interested and come again and again. The burden of our message is the cross of Calvary. This is our warning and invitation. This is our encouragement to the sorrowing, the rich feast which we spread before the believers. Under the deep moving of the Spirit of God, we engage the attention of those not enlightened in regard to the truth for this time. With a longing desire, they fix their gaze upon the cross of Calvary. We ourselves shall be so affected by the wondrous sight that we shall study the lesson more and more earnestly, and then we shall let wondrous love flow forth from sanctified lips. We will draw with Christ. The Holy Spirit works the teacher and the learner also. Both are taught of God. We know, for we have seen this acted in living characters at this meeting. The Lord is working through his ministers and through the hearers. They testify, "I never heard such wonderful expositions of the Bible before." Another says, "The Bible seems to be a treasure house full of precious things." After the meeting's close, many testimonies are born of the great good this meeting is doing. As they see Maggie Hare taking the precious truths in shorthand, they act like a flock of half-starved sheep, and they beg for a copy. They want to read and study every point presented. Souls are being taught of God. Brother Prescott has presented truth in clear and simple style, yet rich in nourishment. Elder Corliss has given many discourses and Bible readings that are highly appreciated. Brother Daniels and Brother Colcord have held forth the word of light in clear and positive lines. The Lord has used these ministers to his name's glory. Instruction has been given in different lines to fit up men and women to be laborers together with God. 1 week ago, 19 were baptized. We need the truth presented in new places. From the light given me of God, it is a mistake to locate our camp meetings in one place. It is not wisdom to hold our large camp meetings over and over on the same ground. Carry the camp meetings to other localities, in or near the cities, where the citizens shall have an opportunity to listen to the reasons for our faith. It may be thought wisdom to calculate the saving of a little money, but what is that to be considered in comparison to giving the people the opportunity to hear the message of warning and giving them an opportunity to become enlightened? Cut down the expenses in some other lines rather than to deprive the cities of the great good and the increased knowledge that they might gain of Bible truth. Many will be attracted, through curiosity, to come to our annual camp meetings. Those who come through curiosity may be convicted and converted to the truth. They have heard of Seventh-day Adventists, and yet have not heard them for themselves. We have heard many, in different localities where our camp meetings have been held, express themselves as very much surprised that we do believe in Jesus Christ, that we believe in his divinity. They say, "I have been told that this people do not preach Christ, but I have never attended meetings where Christ was more manifestly taught and exalted than in the sermons and in every line of work at these meetings. How can Seventh-day Adventists preach any other doctrine? In him our hope of eternal life is centered. There is no other way but to lift him up, the man of Calvary. All ministers should present to the people the only hope of the world. It is those who have not come to hear who accept the "they say" and present entirely false statements. How shall we make the falsehoods appear as they are, falsehoods inspired of Satan to make of none effect the truth of God?
Let those who are bearing responsibilities study less the saving of means and the saving of labor in our camp meetings, and the conveniences gained of having the camp meetings in one place year after year, and consider the great benefits to be given to those in other localities who know not the truth. The great importance of the messages God has given his ministers to bear is a subject worthy of thought and great wisdom of plans.